Hey, everybody. Welcome to a Friday morning. The studios of Grand Forks Best Source. Time now for your Berkshire Hathaway bi-weekly podcast. Standing by, we have got realty expert Berkshire Ben Olson, and we're going to talk with him after this.
What would tomorrow look like if you sold your house today? Maybe you'd move to a new city or a new country. Maybe you'd pick up birding or birdies. You could get into wine, not that into wine, or skiing, warmer skiing. Or maybe you'd spend more time doing nothing at all. When you're ready for whatever comes next, we'll be ready to help you get there. Berkshire Hathaway Home Services.
And realty expert Berkshire Ben Olson is in the house.
That gets me going every time.
I know. How you doing, man?
Doing good. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. Big plans for the weekend?
Nothing. I'm just going to be boring, which I think is fine every now and again, because I've had the last couple weekends that were busy, you know?
There's nothing wrong with hiding in your house and just being boring.
Yes.
Wearing sweatpants
and a
sweatshirt.
That's what's going to happen to me this weekend. If I have to work, then I have to work. But other than that, I'm just going to be hanging out.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I think first of the year, we kind of all got to take a look and go, you know, we still got six more months of winter.
Yeah, jeepers.
So, you know, hunker down in the house.
Yeah, and even like this morning, you look outside, cloudy and snowing. None of that was in the forecast. At least when I did my update this morning. And you look outside, it's like, what the hell?
And I like the sunlight. Even if it's cold out and you get the sun, I mean, that helps with your morale.
And the sun is supposed to come out this afternoon.
The sun will come out.
You look at it like,
this afternoon.
Yeah. Probably not tomorrow.
Probably not tomorrow.
Boy, am I horrible.
For a while. Well, I'm really glad that we're going to get some warm weather here. And as the warm weather's heating up, so is real estate market.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's a good transition right there.
that was a great segue. You know, all we've been hearing this for, well, basically almost since the pandemic, which is gone. Inventory. I know it was, you know, it was up and then it was down. And what is inventory going to look like for 2023, do you think?
So right now we're actually seeing inventory kind of level off.
Okay.
So what I want to look at is some nationwide inventory numbers that affect obviously our state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have had tons of people call, or I have had actual clients who have moved from out of state and came to North Dakota because they like North Dakota. They like Minnesota. They want to live somewhere where it's more normal.
Yeah. Who cares about the cold and the snow? I mean, they want to get away from the crap they've been living in.
Right. I mean, Oregon's already snowing. Oh, so the people who had come move over from Oregon thought to themselves, well, I already deal with the snow.
Yeah.
So to be over here in North Dakota where there's lower taxes, lower regulatory environment.
Lower dumbasses.
Yes. Lower amount of people overall. So that helps a lot. And like, it's amazing because I think there's what, like 5.9 million people in Minnesota. And I think like 779 here in North Dakota, like 779,000.
Yeah, we've got room for a few more people.
Yeah. And either side of the border, we still got room. And it's amazing watching people come here and relocate from other markets and experience what it's like to shop in North Dakota, Western Minnesota.
Sure.
It's a totally different animal.
You know, I brag about Minnesota. I'm a Minnesota boy. I'm born and raised there, lived there the majority of my life. But if you're going to move from the West Coast, I would be thinking harder about moving to North Dakota than Minnesota. Just for the fact that, look who we have to deal with for a governor. Okay, but I'm going to leave that alone now. Okay, I'm fine. I mean, out of my system.
It is a huge impact for some people, right? Your income matters.
Sure does.
I tell people if you're gonna live in Minnesota and you have a high income, you're gonna be paying probably higher income taxes than you would if you lived in North Dakota. But then in North Dakota, you sometimes on more likely than not, you'll have higher property taxes.
If you live in a city
you're, I mean, even, you know, so that's just something to consider. But I tell all my clients, you know, there's differences between North Dakota and Minnesota. Make sure you know those before you actually purchase in those states.
And I don't know if they realize how flat it is here. When you look west, we could stand outside, look west, you can almost see the back of your head. That's how flat it is around here.
Yeah, I can pretty nice and flat. But one thing that I think is going to be really interesting is seeing how, like we talked about on Wednesday, how is the market going to react for 2022 or for 2023 rather? Okay. And on the screen here, I've got some data that has come up from the last different. Yeah, that'd be great. Yep, there it is. So this is research data from Altos Research. This guy's name is Mike Somenson. He is the CEO and founder of Altos Research. And what he does is he compiles data from all over the nation on average home prices and how things are selling. So you can see, obviously, the inventory for homes. You know, we look back. Let's look back all the way back to 2015, where that graph really starts.
Okay.
In 2015, at the height of the market, there's 1.2 million homes on the market nationwide, right? Now we're hovering around 490,000, so we're up from our low, which was obviously back in January of 2022, around that time.
So about a year ago.
Yeah, so what this means, what this graph is telling us, is that we're slowly creeping up to getting more inventory in the market.
Sure.
And a lot of this is to do with the interest rates going up. Obviously, during 2022 and 2021, when interest rates were historically low, people were buying anything and everything that they could. Well, now that interest rates are going up, you're seeing inventory go up as well. So the rates go up, inventory goes up. And so what's going to end up happening with this graph is, you know, you're kind of at the bend down. What's going to hopefully end up happening is it's going to hit a little bit of a dip and then start going back up for the next season, for this season into the spring.
You know, I know what you guys deal with a little bit now, looking at this graph. It always dips down in the winter, in January. And then you see that it goes back up in July, and it's quite the pattern. So this is something you guys have to deal with all the time.
Yeah, I mean, changes in the market are very, very significant. Obviously, you know, we monitor it very closely because it matters with your pricing, it matters with your days on market, it matters with everything to make sure that you're not getting caught at a bad time in the market where, you know, maybe things are going down and you're pricing your house as if things are going up. That's not going to work, right? Or vice versa. Maybe things are going up and you're pricing your house as if it's going down and you're losing your money.
Right.
So those are two areas of inventory, and people ask, well, how does it affect us here in little tiny small town North Dakota? It does, because when you see people in these markets that are having competitively high homes, I mean, $405,000 is pretty much the average home price right now nationwide.
Yeah.
When you look at that, that's a huge, huge barrier to entry for a lot of people, and people end up coming
$400,000?
Yeah, people come up here, people, because they can buy a decent home in a small town or even in Grand Forks for $200,000,
sure,
right? I mean, the affordability is there.
So can you, at Berkshire Hathaway, I mean, can you put billboards up out in Oregon and some of these places and say, hey, you ever think about moving to North Dakota or Minnesota? I mean...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's one thing that could be a great strategy. I think I've thought about doing that, actually, because, you know, people look at North Dakota and don't really think much of it until they kind of do more of their research.
Sure. I saw a story the other day about a guy, probably about your age, and now more and more people are working from home. Well, he's either like LA or New York City or something, where a one-bedroom apartment was going to run him like $2,500 a month. Ridiculous rent. So what did he do? He paid for his own suite on a new cruise liner that has yet to be built. They're in the process of building it now. And he's going to live on a cruise ship.
Yes.
For cheaper than it would be to live in a one-bedroom apartment. Now, think about this. You're living on a cruise ship. All your meals, your drinks, your laundry.
Everything.
It's all done. You work from your cabin or whatever,
or from the deck of the ship, anywhere,
and travel the world. But that's not for everybody.
No, and I mean, those are great. I mean, I look at real estate in kind of a whole approach, right? So let's say that you do eventually want to be the traveler. You do want to be somebody who travels around. Maybe your best bet then is to still build some equity in something and buy a condo or buy a small home that you can rent out and make the payments on, right? Just because you're doing these adventurous things in life, like traveling, does not mean you can't be setting yourself up for financial success. As far as, like, you know, go ahead, buy this condo, rent it out for a year, and during that year, if the tenant is making the payments and everything's good, then take your money and go travel.
Sure.
Right? I mean, that's just a simple way to kind of build equity without doing really anything. I mean, it's passive equity.
Yeah, and with more and more people working from home now, that's why we're seeing some of these people moving from the coasts here to North Dakota, even out in the middle of nowhere in these small towns, because they don't have to commute every single morning. They might have to run to town once a week or once every other week to get their groceries, their supplies, and things like that. And you can do it at about the quarter of the cost as you would out there.
Well, and I have a guy who's coming from California, and he, you know, he's probably might take a 30-minute drive for him to get to work where he lives. I mean, where he is going to be moving to.
That's nothing.
Well, in California, he has to drive like 55 minutes to work.
Yeah.
And that's just so that he can be in a decent neighborhood and have a decent house. And you know, but he has to drive 55 minutes to work every day. Well, for us, I mean, yeah, if you drive 55 minutes, you got open highway the whole way. It's not, you're not sitting in traffic.
Yeah, so when I lived out in California, it took me, and I drove a motorcycle. It took me, when the commute was not on, it took me about 12 minutes to get to work. During the commute, it was 45 minutes. That's a big difference, and that's four lanes going one way.
It's huge.
So that's a huge difference, man. 45 minutes compared to 12 minutes. So even living down in the Twin Cities, I know tons of people, they drive a half hour to an hour to get to work every day.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, and then man, half an hour, an hour back.
Yeah,
and
I couldn't do that.
And I mean, here, your half an hour is open highway. I mean, yeah, that's the difference, right? I mean, in the cities, it's a half an hour in heavy traffic with a ton of other drivers.
Sure.
Here, I mean, in a half an hour, 35 minutes, you're at Northwood.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you can go
50 miles.
Yeah. I mean, you go 50 miles and it's like, okay, you're in a whole different area community. And, you know, it's more about the length of the drive rather than the traffic.
Yeah.
But I think that really fuels into, you know, why people are wanting to move. I think that it makes a big difference for lifestyle. If we look at the screen now, it kind of talks about the current homes that are under contract per week. This is something that's really important to look at when we look at how fast are things actually moving nationwide. And we're seeing 35% fewer homes than in 2022 go pending right now.
Wow.
So what that's actually meaning is that, of course, with interest rates going up, people have kind of put a kibosh on the heavy buying, but people are still out there. I mean, people are still out there doing their thing and wanting to go and buy houses. It just is taking a dip now because there's just not as much inventory.
Sure.
And because interest rates have gone up. So it's a very kind of interesting situation in the market now. You have some areas of the country like Phoenix that is having more inventory than they did then before the pandemic, right? So that's really interesting to look at. I mean, obviously they had record growth, record building, record sales.
Sure.
Well, now things are cooling off down in a place like Phoenix, where places like here are still a little bit more steady, right? I mean, we're still a little bit more steady than some of those big metro areas. So that's why investing in a place even like Grand Forks or a small town around Grand Forks is still going to be better for your bottom dollar than even possibly investing in some of these markets.
Sure.
Just based on the pendings. I mean, if things are down 35% than last year, that's affecting those bigger markets more than it's affecting ours, even though it's still going to affect us.
Right. If you had a place you could spend the winters, where would it be?
Oh, I'd probably pick Florida.
Yeah.
I know people hate the, people say it's so humid. I like the humidity.
I don't mind it. Especially in the winter. It's not as bad in the
winter. Even in the summer. You can be cold, sweating a little bit.
Big deal.
Well, if you're in shorts and a t-shirt anyway, nobody's going to notice.
Yeah. That's true.
But yeah, it just is really interesting to see all the inventory kind of proliferate and how we're going to get to basically the 2023 season. There is one more graph I'd kind of like to show. Let's see. Yeah, this is the really important one. So people are on the fence about buying a home right now. You have to look at, in 2018, it was all the way down to about $1,800 a month. Well, now, you know, you're looking at around $2,175. So you're paying about $400 on average for that type of property. You know, it just kind of shows that as rental rates go down too, it's going to be competitive there for people who are owning multifamily properties, right?
Right.
I mean, you may see some of these multifamily properties go vacant because they just can't demand the type of rent that they're going to get. And they end up selling them. So, I mean, there's also inventory potential in those type of areas too. You know, there's so many different factors that play into inventory and this type of market. And rentals do have a factor in it, obviously. You know, it's seeing that, obviously, as rental rates go up, people can justify paying that higher interest rate and going for that type of house.
So when you look at rent, you look at mortgages, you look at national averages, I would imagine we here are still a lot lower than your national average. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yes. Yep. I mean, things are going up here too. I mean, you're seeing new builds and things like that are creeping up to that 400 range where before they'd maybe be closer to three, right? I mean,
sure.
We're seeing prices go up steadily year over year. 2 years ago, the average home price in the United States was $306,000. Now it's $405,000.
Wow.
Right. So in 3 years, basically, if you've had an average $300,000 home, you've possibly made equity of $100,000 in 3 years. That's just what what the national average says.
In this little pea brain of mine, I look at a $400,000 house as a mansion.
A $400,000 house here or in a lot of places are still very nice houses.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really where you get into those bigger markets where you're going to get a 2-bedroom, 1-bath for $750,000.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, isn't that crazy?
That's nuts to me. I can't even imagine where you have a slab on grade home in California. And it's $750,000, 4-bedroom, 2-bath with a, you know, 7,000 square foot lot. So basically what you'd have here, only half the square footage, you don't get a basement.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine that. You have a ranch style home, but no basement. So you're really limiting yourself. And so there's just a lot of value here.
Yeah,
and these houses,
they're not insulated or anything like that. They're not built near like they are here.
No, not at all. So it's going to be interesting to see how we go into 2023. But these are some good data to look at.
How does somebody get a hold of Berkshire Ben Olson? Madison if they want to find out about any of this stuff you've been talking about.
It's easy. Just call me 701-318-2676 or check out my Facebook page, Ben Olson Broker Associate.
You have yourself a lazy, wonderful weekend, my friend.
You too. Have a great weekend.
And looking forward to seeing you again.
Yes, soon.
All right, there you go. That's your Berkshire Hathaway biweekly podcast, your realty expert, Berkshire Ben Olson. Wishing all of you a very, very happy weekend. We'll catch you again on Monday.